plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.
It's the Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin, and the Moon Man, the catch up.
Today we heard from Bobby Shriekman, all the way from his Alabaster Tower in Hollywood.
Always we found out you can't compliment a woman anymore. You're not allowed to use a car horn.
So many rules.
We learnt about the Swingers Club again.
Oh, yeah. So many rules.
Yes. So many rules.
So no one walking around nude. What's
no one walking about nude. And you can't be. You can't go into the orgy room unless you've been invited.
I go where I want, when I want.
It's a very informative show. It starts now on the catch up. He's our man.
It's our Bobby. Good morning.
Shriek.
Good morning, Robbo. Hello, Marto, Moon Man. It's Ben filling in for Brendo. It's everybody on Triple M in Brisbane. Oh, I'm up here in the Hollywood Hills in my pink alabaster mansion wearing a moo-moo and carrying me little shih tzu around.
Let's talk about Lisa Wilkinson.
Oh, what a fizzer. I mean, Lisa's come out and demanded the right wage, hasn't she? $2.3 million for the Sunday Project. Who's watching Snore? Nobody. $581,000 out of $347,000. Come on, Wilco.
What's happened with Zayn Malik from 1D and Gigi Hadid?
Gigi Hadid, oh, isn't she cute, lovely, and what a power couple they were. So steamy and sexy, smoking. Ooh, the fog was rising off those two. Well, Zayn Malik from One Direction, they're going in two directions. They're broken up. I tell you what, they're saying work pressures, but I reckon there's someone else on the horizon. You know what I'm saying? Zayn, keep it in your pants, pal.
Okay. I just talking about The Bachelor, big rumours that the Honey Badger is going to be The Bachelor.
I was listening to your show yesterday. You were talking about how a real honey badger could take on a lion and bite him on the nurries.
Yep.
Scare up a lion while I'm looking for a honey badger myself. If you know where there is one.
No,
ooh,
Bobby.
I'm a Leo.
Well, let's settle down, Bobby. What about the Stefanovic? They're getting married in September, Carl and his fiancée, Yasmin, whatever. Yasmin. They're getting married, but they've had a commitment ceremony.
Once upon a time, the commitment ceremony was purely the domain of gay men making a commitment ceremony in the Barossa Valley at Sundown. But now the Stefanovic's up to it. They had a bit of a chat in Uber on the way there, and I think they said some naughty things about Georgie. I don't like Georgie.
No.
Georgie.
You want to talk about Peter Rabbit.
The Peter Rabbit movie. I just love it. Hop, 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 bounce, bounce, little woggly tails. But I'll tell you what, an Anastasia Palaszczuk, they will not be making the sequel to Peter Rabbit in Australia because no one wants to see Peter Rabbit's face rotten from myxomatosis. Oh, Khaleesi virus wiping out the whole family.
Okay. All right, Shriekman.
Really? Bye.
Thanks, Bobby. He's our man with all the Hollywood guys. Wow. The Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
We live in a hashtag Me Too, hashtag Time's Up society where women are reporting men who have transgressed against them, you know, sexually harassed them, sexually assaulted them.
There is now an avenue to do that.
And that is a great movement to free women of that burden, both in the workplace, in their private lives and in the public space. But it's also made men start to examine their behaviours, which is very important too. And I read something recently that compliments can sometimes make a woman feel sexually at risk. They can put a woman under pressure.
What's saying nice things now?
Saying nice things. They can make a woman feel self-conscious. And that compliments are not welcome. Now, I know that that's not going to be 100% of women. I maybe, you know, who knows the percentages.
So hang on. Explain to me what you define as a compliment because, again, I will go back to what I always say in this scenario. It's the intent.
Okay.
Yeah, you're looking great.
I tell you what.
That's okay. Thanks, Marto. Yeah.
I like your shoes.
All right. Yeah.
You haven't even looked at my shoes. If I asked you to describe
I've never
them,
looked
you
at
couldn't.
Your shoes.
Did you, have you had your hair cut? Because it looks fantastic.
Yeah, that's lovely.
All right. I really love those jeans.
Yep.
They are so sexy.
Sassin Bide got them online, $20.
Wait. Did you hear what he said?
What?
So sexy. Those jeans are.
I didn't hear that. No, I didn't hear that. But also, I'd kind of go, stop bullshitting me. And it's me you're talking to.
Right. But, you know.
Example only.
No, I know.
Let's take sexy out of that.
Yeah. Why,
you know,
what are you
if I'm complimenting you on how something sits. It's like, that's a, you know, if it's tight or whatever the compliment
okay.
is.
Okay, it's interesting though.
If it's clothes, though, I reckon if it's about hair,
yeah.
That can never be interpreted in a sexual way. But if it's about clothes, it's about how it's sitting on your body maybe.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Like, I like that top.
See, okay, and it's interesting. When you pointed out the sexy thing,
yeah.
there's a part of me, like, I went, ooh. So there was an actually kind of instinctive reaction where I went, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're going to...
Now, there's compliments and there's compliments. Let's take the sexy out of it. What yeah. I'm saying is I am not going to compliment women anymore on their clothes or their shoes
That's
or their
a bit
hair
sad.
Because I don't want to be dragged into a situation where somebody goes, I didn't like it. I felt it was a little bit
He's
sleazy
a bit creepy.
Or it's reinterpreted in some other way. Now, I do notice, you know, what people are wearing and I notice if something's new or they've had a change of hair or
something. And that's
something,
a really good thing.
That's a nice thing to be able to, you know,
it's
be conscious
finished.
About what's going on
it's
around
all over.
You. But I think that,
do
for
that.
Me, I don't want to do it. But
don't
okay,
do that.
Well, there's,
We're
there's
too
also,
scared
there's
to
two,
say anything from now on.
There's a couple of areas, right? First of all, there's those closest to you who you can compliment, or my mm. wife, for example, or close female friends.
Are you sure?
But then the workplace, am I sure? No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Then there's the workplace. Then there's, you know, complete strangers. Where once upon a time, you know, if there was someone stunning beside you at the bus stop, you go, my God, you look
gorgeous,
you
lovely.
You look fantastic. And
yeah.
they go, well, thank you.
I've never done that.
Never complimented
it's
a complete
been
stranger.
Too dangerous,
okay,
I reckon.
So here's the
I
thing.
So you feel that danger?
I've felt it for ages.
Well,
no.
Yeah, maybe you've got that sensibility.
I reckon it's a creepy thing.
What?
To go around complimenting people you don't know, girls you don't know.
It's a big breakfast.
Ooh.
What?
Can of worms.
Will you stop doing
Shall we
that?
Open that?
No, Ben's doing it now. We are opening a can of worms. You can't compliment a woman anymore. I'm saying. It's over.
Here's the thing I'd say about the Me Too movement from a female perspective. I think one of the great things is that, yes, all those issues that you're saying men are now much more conscious of, I also think that women have to take responsibility now that this movement has happened to be able to vocalise when they're not comfortable.
Oh.
So if you were to compliment me, and then I need to have the voice to say back to you, I'm not okay with that, and then we're on an even playing field. Because what I actually don't like happening is what seems to be going on a bit is you guys have lost complete confidence in where you stand with all women, and that should not be the case. By all means, be respectful, but we also don't want to change who we are fundamentally. So that's why I'm saying to you, yes, compliment if you're coming from a nice place and you're trying to make another human being feel good.
We weren't comfortable.
So nice.
We weren't that confident in the first place. Now we're just like...
But that's all it is. It's an attempt... Unless... The problem is there's sleazy guys who do it for the wrong reason.
Right.
And there's other people, like I would figure you and I, well, I do it. If I say something nice, I mean it, to make the person feel good.
That's exactly right. So you don't want to be in a position where people stop being nice because we've got this movement on behalf of
to.
A couple
but
of horrible sleaze.
Single guys, and one of the most popular places to meet is in the workplace, and there's somebody that might have a bit of a crush on somebody else
and
want to say something, you know, just go, you know,
she's looking good.
Okay, Kenny
you look great.
Of Wynnum, what do you reckon about compliments? Do you think you can do them anymore?
Morning, team. Morning. Yeah, look, you've really opened a can of worms with this one.
Well,
but
we know that.
You can. Yeah, oh, okay then. Righto.
We open it.
You can do it, but you've got to really judge the person. The location as well is a very important thing. And age. For instance, I'm 40, mid-40s. I'm not going to say it to... a young 18-year-old. I've got daughters of myself that are just over that age, and there's no way I'd do that because they probably wouldn't understand. but then you've got, like, it's the way you do it, and it doesn't have to be, like, towards anything, like, about their looks or anything either, you know. It just could be just a normal hello. For example, the other day, I was at a certain suburb, I won't mention, at that certain suburb, I was at a place, working at a place that pretty dodgy, and the suburb itself is pretty dodgy. And next minute I looked over and there was a nice young blonde woman, probably 10 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I tell you what, my eyes have finally seen something that is a bit pleasant today, my dear. And she, well, blushed and, you know, away she went. But, for instance, in Queensland, a lot easier to do that. down Sydney, I wouldn't even bother.
There you go. Kenny Casanova, that's him.
Was Kenny all right with that, saying that to someone, a stranger?
I don't know in the circumstance and if she was okay with it, but I also feel that if she wasn't, she has a right to say, please don't say that.
My eyes have seen something quite pleasant today, my dear.
Where was Kenny? Was he up in Gympie?
I don't know.
The good-looking person.
It's up to the woman who copped it. Sharon of Caboolture, what do you reckon?
I reckon I would love to have a wolf whistle, walk past a construction site and be complimented for the effort that I've put in to look nice.
Do you know most buildings...
Oi, Shazza!
Hey, Shazza. Looking good, right. Shaz. A lot of building sites, that's part of the workplace health and safety, is you can't whistle or yell at people walking by.
That's good. See, I don't like the wolf whistle.
You don't?
No, that makes me feel really...
But they'll come to a stage of their life where no one will take any notice of you anymore.
The results are in. 65% say you can. You can still compliment a woman.
You can still compliment a woman.
There you go.
The Big Breakfast can of worms.
At your own risk.
I'm full of trepidation.
The leader's back on that can of worms. The Big Breakfast, Mardo, Robin and the Moon Man on Triple M.
I know you're looking at me like I'm a Mexican, and I am. I'm from Melbourne.
It's the sombrero, I think.
It's the sombrero on the large of those. And the bullet belts across the chest and the gold twos as well.
Yeah.
I've been watching rugby league because I know that it's the sport here. When you say footy, you don't talk about AFL here. Yeah. People glaze, they roll their eyes. So I'm wading in, and I watched a bit of rugby league over the weekend, and something strikes me about the sport that needs to change. I want to revolutionise the sport.
You're a blow-in who all of a sudden is... Your enthusiasm's great, but you now are going to tell us how to change that. You're like Peter Beattie. What's the emblem? What's the mascot of Cronulla?
I knew it was the Sharks right along.
Everyone knew it was
the
Sharks.
They won the premiership 2 years ago.
Well, he's the boss of rugby league. If he can tell us how to change the game, maybe we should listen to you.
Well, yeah, if Peter Beattie can lead NRL, then I think I'm going to throw my sombrero in the ring.
Okay, so coming up next, you're going to tell us how rugby league should change.
Do you know what? I reckon the game, games evolve, but I think that the game could improve.
That's nice. Sometimes we need an outsider to take a good look at the game and so we can recalibrate.
Mm.
Well, I'm pretty keen to have some genuine rugby league people. If you want to judge Moon's idea,
you can be part of in the foot.
All of this.
Where's the game won at fullback, you tell me?
I reckon you need a great fullback to win a premiership.
Yeah, okay. It's the Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man, Triple M.
Righto.
Let me just preface my revolutionising the game of rugby league by saying when Galileo said the world was round and not flat, they locked him up and tortured him.
Okay.
Until he recanted, all right?
Game of rugby league's been going since 1908 when they broke away from the rugby union, okay? Mm. Said, we're professionals, we're all coal miners, we're losing too much time at work, we're going to film our own game. We don't want 15 players like rugby, we want 13 players. Stayed the same ever since.
And what were some of the things that they changed in order to break away from rugby union?
Well, when the tackle's made. The big difference between the two games, when the tackle's made, rugby league, everyone gets away from the ball and you start again. That's rugby when union. The game starts. When the tackle's made, that's when the contest for the ball begins right there. And that's the main difference. So rugby league's a cleaner game.
Yeah, so they don't have to go down into a scrum every time.
Yeah, every time.
Okay, and I think that's good. The breakaway to make it 13 players, I think you need two less players to open the game up. So let's go to 11 straight away.
11.
Oh, Ben's snorted.
Wow. Who would you get rid of? So that's a 2 out of 13. That's about a 15% reduction in players. Mm. That would help with criminality and arrests.
Salary
and stuff.
Caps.
15% less arrests each season.
Yeah.
Right, and then again, I realise that I'm putting 50 men out of a job. Also, what I noticed, because a betting friend of mine was saying that he bets on every rugby league game on a weekend, that the first try will come after 7 minutes.
Oh.
And he's got a 60% hit rate.
Yeah.
So he bets on every game. And it's a small return, but it's just his first bet. And it's like, that's true. And that's the reason for that is that it's a war of attrition. Eventually, somebody starts to fatigue, there's a mistake made or a gap opens and the first try goes through.
Right, about the
7 or 8 minute mark.
Yeah.
Now, I reckon you want to be scoring before that time.
So how are you going to do it?
In a game of rugby league. Well, I just see that the ball gets, passed off.
Yeah.
Passed, not thrown, by the dummy half, and then bang, you get tackled, and then it gets passed again. Yeah. Why aren't they, doing a longer kind of, outside pass to somebody who's going to chip over the top and run.
Oh, percentages.
A chip and run.
Hang on, what are you talking about?
He's talking about straight away, throw a long ball straight away from dummy half or first receiver. Right. You know how they play it really safe,
yeah,
the percentages?
Yeah, yeah.
Hit it up once.
Yep.
Hit it up again.
Once. Yes.
That's because the most important thing in the game, maybe you're,
is possession.
You've got something, is possession.
I get that.
Completion rate of your sets.
Yeah, possession is, you know, the game, key. Essentially.
So and you're saying take risks. None of the coaches like taking risks.
And what I know that Melbourne had a chip and run game that basically anyone north of Melbourne hated, but that they kind of had an AFL thing creeping into the game. Now, what I see when I look at a rugby league game is there's 1, 6, and 7. Yeah. They've got the bodies of AFL players. Yes. And basically they're the spine
of the
team.
Running the game, yeah, and the nine.
They're the fit ones,
Cam
not the thug ones.
Cooper Cronk.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, they're the fitter, lighter ones.
Necks.
They're not as big.
Yeah.
They're not as big as the. Well, you got the fit ones, not the thug ones. We've got a cast dispersion.
No, but I'm just trying to identify.
They're
the
ones
one
that
with
don't work as bouncers.
Yeah, well, all the others are soldiers.
Necks.
Well, normal necks, slender necks, not just heads connected
so
to cube.
So why wouldn't you have more 1, 6, and 7s in your game? Why wouldn't you make your game a faster, more agile game?
Because you need the people to get over the advantage line. You need to be going forward. It's a game of momentum. If you're getting over the advantage line,
you need a batter.
And then the
forward.
Quick guys come in on about the fourth tackle, they have a go, and if that doesn't succeed, then you kick on the fifth tackle.
Well, do you want to find out
so
what...
So basically, let's find out what people think about my malarkey anyway.
Dom of Caloundra, you've been listening. You're a huge rugby league fan. What do you reckon?
I reckon taking a couple of players out of the side will definitely increase the amount of scoring plays, but at the same time it'll sort of slow down the attrition of the game, so you know it'll just make it more fast and open for outside backs, and you know it's probably going to remove two forwards. It's the only way you could go about it.
And what about the bit where I think what he was saying at the end, this is the moon, he wants to have everyone under 85 kilograms.
No,
if we had a game full of Alfie Langers, it'd be entertaining for a short period of time, but what about the big blokes? You can't forget the big forwards.
Well, he doesn't want the boring stuff. He just wants the loose action. That's what you're
saying. Yeah, I was thinking, you know, a more agile, quicker game. But like Brando said to me, he goes, there's a game like that, and it's called AFL. Why do you want to change our game?
That's true.
It's a different game.
Yeah, get away.
Okay, Leon from Kippering, you're also a massive league fan. What do you think?
Oh, you definitely need the big blokes in there. There's, you know, there's all the hard-hitting action. That's what it's all about. You know, everyone loves to see a nice big, you know, bloke just walk in and
smash.
Take someone out. Yeah, smash them up, you know what I mean? That's what it's all about. It's all about throwing the body and, you know, getting in there and getting hurt. It's not about running around kicking a ball away from you so you don't get hurt, you know? That's why I don't watch the AFL. It's, you know.
Call it for what it is, Leon.
Thanks, Leon. So, Moon, just back away.
Yeah.
Leave it alone, mate.
It's a man's game.
Yeah, leave it alone.
It's not for you.
Just watch.
It's not for you, little Ozzer. Yeah. Get away.
It's the Big Breakfast, Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. This is Triple M.
Hey, Robin, can you tell everyone what you're reading there? And you better...
Yeah, credit the Drive Show. Thank you very much. They've paid the $50 to get the Sotheby's Australia Russell Crowe The Art of Divorce catalogue. because the big auction of Russ's stuff is happening on the 7th of April in Sydney.
Such a tosser. Describe
now,
that.
Hold on.
Oh, here he is.
Oh, hello, Russ.
G'day. Oh, thanks.
Don't ash in my cup of tea, mate.
Now, I've just got to say that the 7th of April, of course, is my actual wedding anniversary.
And your birthday.
I was, and my birthday. I forgot that.
Is that what day the auction's on, too?
That's right. I was born.
On your wedding day.
On my wedding day.
And you're getting divorced on your
Well,
wedding.
I wasn't actually born on my wedding day because the wedding day was 2003. But anyway, my name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
Hey, mate.
Commander of the armies of the North, General. Sorry, I just can't stop saying that.
Russ, there's some claims in this studio that you're sometimes a wanker. Why are you auctioning off all
Every
these...
Every man's a wanker. I'm not the biggest wanker in the world.
I didn't say you were the biggest, but why are you auctioning... Why do you own 30 watches? What's that about?
Well, because what happens in life will echo in eternity. And,
oh, my God.
I just like to know what time it is.
But
you know, once I put all those watches on, had them up my left leg, down my right. I don't know what you're laughing at, mate. I've just come in here. I like to wear watches.
That's
a lot of them. Yeah. I like to have a few on the go.
That is not the biggest issue within this magazine.
What else is it?
The 2008 custom Rabbitohs chopper motorcycle.
Yeah, the Rabbitohs chopper was one of the great buys of my life. As you can see, they're long front forks and a rabbit on the tank. I own the Rabbitohs because I'm a loyal servant to the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son.
Russ, let's get back on track here. What's with all the Donald Bradman stuff and Yvonne Goolagong? Why do you own a lot of her trophies? Would you steal them?
Yvonne Goolagong's one of the greats. Great tennis player, great woman, and a great representative of Indigenous people. And I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Listen, you keep on saying all these people. You've got a lot of Don Bradman stuff, a lot of that. But why are you selling them if they're that great?
Because I've run out of space. I've just got so much shit. I've got to get rid of it.
Have you got a big farm up near Ballina or somewhere?
Yeah, well, you know, I can't fit it all up the Nana. It's Nana Glen. When I say fit it up the Nana, yeah. I mean me place.
Okay, so you can tell we work at Triple M because everyone's highlighted all the sporting memorabilia. I'm much more interested in Danielle Spencer's jewellery.
Yeah, I could see you open there at the jewellery page, Rob, and
there's number we'll give of you them.
A bit. A lot of those jewellery pieces are out of the 20-cent machine in front of a milk bar, you know.
They are not.
Propeller ring.
They're worth $70,000 for a platinum 18-carat gold white fancy yellow diamond and diamond ring. The diamond in the centre is 5.3 carats.
Well, when you love a woman, you show her you love her with diamonds, and that's the way I do it.
And then she divorces you.
Well, yeah. She divorced me.
Well, good luck, mate. When's it on? The 7th of April.
A bit of a loose unit. 7th of April. So get involved. Have a bid. Get online. And I'm on the cover of the catalogue there with an old-fashioned, you know, beautiful tuxedo. I'm a very attractive man. Just going to go and do some push-ups.
The Big Breakfast. Sports all in.
Kagiso Rabada, they're calling him a once-in-a-generation bowler. He has taken a 10 or more wicket haul four times in his short career.
Now, Moon, this is on Fox. This isn't on free-to-air. So tell me, Rabada's the big, dark-skinned bowler from South Africa.
That is, in fact, correct. He took 11 wickets. Because he is just so fast. He has got so much moxie, and he gets right into the face of the opposition. Well, I can't tell you his fastest bowling.
He's the guy that got suspended for bumping into Steve Smith.
Yeah, he's been sanctioned twice in the second test and so will, unfortunately, miss the final two tests of the four-test series in South Africa, which is really sad for cricket and sad for the game because he has just come a long way in a very short time. He took 11 wickets in that second test. Now, like I said, a 10 or more wicket haul four times in his short career. That's more times than Glenn McGrath, James Anderson, Courtney Walsh and Curtly Ambrose in their careers.
What, in their hock?
Careers. 10 wicket or more haul in a game.
Righto, he's played 28 tests, I think I read somewhere.
And Brett Lee never did. He now
never took 10 wickets, Brett Lee.
No,
so this guy's up there with the greatest bowlers ever.
Yeah, and he is 22 years of age. So it's just great to see that kind of attitude. I just wonder whether they can, you know, say, in what has been an illogical and unbalanced series so far.
Oh, it's an angry series. I love it.
It is an angry series. And I think that cricket needs that. And I think that South Africa and Australia have always had that too. But to see a black kid out there throwing down demon...
That's nice.
Hills at the Australians. It's great.
Thanks for bringing us. Can I bring you something else? An unheralded and underrated sports story is the Quicksilver Pro. You know the one down at Snapper Rock down the coast?
Rocks, but I didn't know there was a Quicksilver Pro down there.
Well, it's the first event on the world stage, right in front of where Mick lives, there Stephanie Gilmore lives. Okay, so it's their event. My young bloke was down there on the weekend watching it. Things got hot, real hot yesterday. Now, it's right there. There's no sporting event where it's free to be that close to the world champions who are surfing. Like, you can stand on the rock there and you can virtually touch them. You're 5 metres away as they jump on board. It's spectacular. Yesterday down there, there were so many upsets. Steph Gilmore, gone. Tyler Wright, world champion, gone. What's her other name? Clarissa Moore, three-time world champion. They're all being knocked out. So there's all these upsets. Then late in the day, you've heard of Owen Wright? No, you guys might know my surfing.
No, I don't know all
I'm
about
not
surfing.
Across my surfers.
Tyler Wright is the world's women's champion, okay?
Right.
Her brother Owen had brain surgery about a year ago. He came back.
He crashed in a wave.
And he won. He came back after a year and won. I didn't know there was a third brother called Mikey. So he gets in the surf yesterday. He's got this wicked mullet, just a filthy mullet and a moustache. And he takes his dog. Now, this is a World Tour event, okay? He's up against the number one, John Florence. Some people would have heard of him, okay? So world champion John Florence, this Mikey Wright, the little brother of them. Wicked. He had his dog. Took his dog all the way down. His dog sat on the rock and watched him while he beat the world champion in a heat. Then he got out of the surf, patted his dog, walked up the beach, and even better, this John Florence, number one surfer in the world, okay? He hopped out, had a shower, walked. Got his two mates, they were both in bare feet, walked down the road, and that was the end. Do you ever see Roger Federer do that at Wimbledon? He just walked down the road at Coolangatta there. Walked down the road. That's the last they saw. He had a surfboard under each arm and just walked away. God, I love surfing. They're just so cruisy.
Well, one of the great things about surfing is that, you know, the audience is right there on the beach, very close. And the same thing happens at Pipeline, don't they? They drive up camper vans and all hang out in that car park.
And it's a world event.
And the surfers rent houses right on the beach. They walk out of their houses and start the action.
Oh, it's magnificent. That's surfing. One rugby league story. Or have you got any? Oh, Aaron Woods, you know, with the long hair.
Oh, the Tigers guy who's an idiot, for the State of Origin.
Yes, that's the one.
Is that the blue guy?
Had his hair cut. I just saw him on telly. I don't think he's a dickhead anymore.
What?
It was just his hair, obviously.
Right.
Who's he playing for now? It's not the Tigers.
He's had the reverse Samson. It's made him better, the shorter hair.
Well,
have we heard anything on the Kevin Proctor squirrel grip? Has he been sanctioned?
Yeah, no, got off with it.
Got off with it.
I don't know, because it might have been a mate of his, because they were New Zealand teammates.
Oh, so bagpat.
All the questions you want answers to, that's the one.
Well, didn't he? He wanted to know whether that was still serious to fiddle with another man's wheels.
Okay,
let's move on.
How many weeks do you get?
This is Triple M.
Hey, listen, what do they say? Ignorance is a...
bliss.
No,
ignorance is no excuse.
That's the one. Oh. Ignorance is no... when it comes to road flying...
I'm just being blissful over here.
Well, ignorance is bliss, but in the eyes of the law...
But you won't get away with it.
In the eyes of the law, ignorance is no excuse. That's to say that I did not know that the speed limits were changing on the way to the Gold Coast, that's no excuse.
Did you know you can't play cricket on the street?
On your own quiet little...
If you've got a quiet little street...
Oh, because you're blocking a road.
Apparently, you can't... They were saying this last night. They went through... Listen to some of these offences.
You should be able to play in a court, though.
If you're in a cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
at the end, I grew up in a cul-de-sac.
Even on a crescent. Or a parade.
Or if you have witches' hats at each end and stopping the traffic. Anyway, that's how it started. And then I went, what? You can't do this.
The penalty for driving with a dog in your lap, almost $300. Caught with an arm or leg hanging out the window could cost you just that. You'll be slapped with an almost $400 fine and lose 3 demerit points for even touching your phone behind the wheel.
Good.
Okay, traffic lights, don't do it, people.
Good, the phone. But, well, yeah, just an arm out. Is that all
well,
right?
Well, no, they're
a
talking
leg, I understand.
Like, you know.
Are they all the way
out? In the old days before air conditioning, you'd have your arm out so the wind could go up your sleeve.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
To cool you down.
To cool your torso down.
Yeah.
But the dog in your lap, how much time, how many you see that? Is that bad? Or my dog sometimes comes across and wants to nuzzle in.
No, I know.
What if you're blind and you need your dog to drive?
All right, I'll run some more by you. All right, some of these are just ridiculous. It's quite obvious.
It's an offence for a cyclist to use a mobile phone while riding.
Yeah, cyclists can also be given tickets for riding a bike backwards or without a bell.
Is that Dora the Explorer?
I don't even understand how you ride a bike backwards.
No, that's ridiculous.
Who would do that? What about horses?
I came to grief backwards? Mobile phone on a bike.
Oh, don't
badly.
Ever. Don't
yeah.
ever.
That is, no, that's a stupid thing to do.
All right. Now, all right. So is everyone right with all this so
far?
Yeah,
so far.
You're not
so
as ignorant
good.
As we once were. Can't do this either. I never, ever knew this.
Either that driver doesn't know or care that what they've just done is also illegal. Beeping your horn, even in a friendly manner, can cost you more than $70.
So when are you meant to use your horn?
Oh, my horn's like my voice in my car. Hi. Don't like you, do like you.
Yeah, get well, this is hello, goodbye. Yeah. Toot, toot.
Exactly, that's
and
goodbye.
And this is the arrows turn green and you haven't seen it. Toot.
Yep.
Bit of a wave out of the back.
Yeah.
And this
just
is,
like giving you a tap on the shoulder.
Yeah. And this is... You are a complete F-wit, mate.
Get out of my way.
Stop driving backwards with your dog in your lap.
Can I just check everyone? That's the most ridiculous one. $70 a fine. So if you do this... 70, right. Oh, there's 140. There's 280.
Got another.
All right. Has anyone got a problem with that?
No.
Like in Italy. I lived in Italy for a couple of years while I was playing footy. And that's how they drive. That's how they alert people that that's good. That's how
they
communicate.
When you toot in Italy, people kind of like move out of your way or are aware of something. If you toot someone in Australia, you get the bird or a possible road rage.
Can we just check with everyone? I know we're heading on with time, but can we check one after the song? 133353. How do you use your horn? Is it okay? Robin, are you haven't said anything to you?
I'm not a huge horn user.
Oh, I'm an enormous horn user.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
Have you got a massive horn?
Oh, hold on. You deserve it for that.
That's very, very chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
What was that? $70 every time you use your horn, and I use it to talk to other drivers, whether it's nice talk and see you and hi and everything else, or it's
how big is your horn vocabulary, though? Like, you know, is it just hi, see you, get out of the way, or that's you're it.
Oh, you don't do sentences. Oh, that's why I want to know how everyone else uses their horn. Who you got there?
Hello, Scotty of the Goldie.
There you go, mate.
Yeah, what are you driving, Scotty?
Mate, I'm driving a B-double with a nice big quad air horn on the roof.
I want to hear it now.
Well, you will second, I think, but when do you use it, though?
Mate, I use it many different times, but my favourite thing to do is when you pull up at a set of lights and you see someone on their phone next to you, because I can see right down in the car.
Yes.
I normally jump on the horn and put the fear of God in, and they think there's a bloody cruise ship about to hit them.
I love that.
Up in the air, and yeah, they're not too happy about it.
Where are you driving right now? Because Robin wants to hear your horn.
I do.
Mate, just up Boronia Heights, actually.
Are you okay to give it a blast?
Yeah, I'll give you a quick blast. You listening?
Yep. Oh, that does.
Yeah.
The love boat.
It does like sound like a cruise ship.
Very foghorn-ish. That's nice, right? That's 70, though. You owe us.
Yeah,
exactly. Thanks, Scotty. Ken of Kalanga, when do you use your horn?
Yeah, I ride a motorcycle, and it's a personal safety device on a bike. The amount of idiots out there that don't indicate when changing lanes,
you've got
to let them know.
You only get one chance. But how loud is it? Would a guy in a car or a person in a car listening to their radio hear your horn?
Yeah, they're actually pretty good.
Yeah, they're quite penetrating. When you're at one out and one back, as they would say in trotting. When you're over the driver's right-hand shoulder, that's a dangerous place to be, isn't it, Ken? So sometimes you give a little courtesy toot.
Yep, for sure.
Pale face adios coming down the outside.
What do you do? Two toots? How many do you give them?
Generally just one long.
One, yeah. I'm here. Yeah,
fair enough.
Righto.
Fair call. But that would be argued by anyone who cares that is used to actually warn people. Like, that is actually the use of a horn.
Yeah, that is a safety device.
Yes, that is
device. So no fine.
No, it's only when you're going, hi.
The other one, when you play the foghorn, that's shouting at someone, isn't it?
Pretty much. Michael of Birkdale.
Yes. Hey, how's it going?
Do you use your horn to talk to other cars?
Mostly to tell them to get out of the road.
Yeah, me too.
And have you ever copped any grief for that?
Yeah, I got fined for it about 7 years back now.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I got fined. It was called using emergency device in a non-emergency situation.
Oh,
I got hit. $240 for that.
How many?
$240.
Okay, well, how did you get caught? What happened?
I was going past a service station, seeing a mate in there, tooted the horn, and there was a police car behind me.
A fine. You got a g'day horn fine.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much.
Must have been a slow day for the police.
Down on the budget that month.
What about in multicultural areas when their team makes the World Cup? What are they going to do?
There's no Vuvuzela fines, I don't think.
Too good. Thanks, everyone.
Plumbers become super plumbers, installing a super quick water dispenser. Superquick.com.au.